Welcome back, everyone. This is another episode of Bitch, I Ain't Scared, aka Fear Bias. I'm Rob, the scholar, and I'm here with Nate, the fool. Nate, how's it going?
Nate, the fool. I'm great. Happy Pride Month.
It is definitely Pride Month. Happy Pride Month. Yes. This is two episodes of June, so we'll definitely have more gay-tastic news and stuff for you on our next episode. But yay, another Pride Month under our wing. Any plans? Any big things going on?
I actually am planning to go to Pride next week. Oh, yeah. Fun fact, kiddies. In LA, we have two Prides this year. I don't know. I guess they were just like, oh, you poor things. You couldn't do anything the last 2 years. So here you go. There's a little bit of confusion. But yes, so one is happening the first weekend of June and then the customary second weekend of June. LA is having two Prides. So I will be attending the second one, I believe, and still not drinking. But, you know, hopefully I can tolerate all these crazy homos in my sober state. What about you, Rob?
Yeah, I do plan on attending LA Pride, at least the parade, if anything. I'm also doing another horror movie night for the month of June. We're going to keep it gay as much as possible. One of the films we're going to watch is called Siege. I believe it's 1983. I don't know exactly how much queer involvement is in this movie, but we just know that in sort of like a Purge sort of like outline, one gay survivor from this gay bar that had been massively attacked. He takes refuge in his friend's or someone's apartment full of other, I believe they are all heterosexual characters, and they all band together to protect him as this raid comes in to try and get this last gay person. So we have a movie of survival, all protecting our gay fellow man. So we'll see how this movie turns out. I don't know if anybody's ever seen this movie before. Watching the trailer, it's going to be super cheesy. But I'm very curious how this movie is played out and just how they talk about the dynamics of queer and all of that stuff. Our second movie, though, it's up in the air, but one of our attendees admitted to us that he had never seen Nightmare on Elm Street, Part 2, Freddy's Revenge. And I think it is our solemn duty to make sure that every queer person watches this film. It just needs to be seen. So that is a possibility. If we do watch it, I'll have some information on how somebody today is watching a movie like that and just sort of noticing all the gay and queer subtext that is in this film by accident, by the way. So I don't know. We may watch that as well.
I don't know if it's by accident. I mean, I watched it and they seemed like they were pretty intent on delivering a message.
Well, I still need to watch that documentary, to be honest. I'm so late on it. I think in there they all explain, like, maybe at least through half of it, they had no idea. Maybe they just ran with it afterwards. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the doc said.
Yeah.
Speaking of documentaries, they just released
a segue.
They just released a trailer today as we're recording that a new documentary is going to be released July 26th on video on demand and streaming day before my birthday. Pennywise, the story of It, the miniseries, gets the documentary tribute where they gather up all of the actors and people who worked on the film and talk about the making of this movie. And I think it looks great. The trailer's on YouTube right now. And I'm excited because they even involved Tim Curry to be a part of it as well. I don't know how much we'll get from him, but he already was seen reciting a line that he is most famous for. So I'm very excited to watch.
Yeah, it looked interesting. I don't watch a lot of documentaries anymore, but when I do watch them, I always get a fulfilling sense of, I don't know, you know, it's good to learn all the behind the scenes stuff. It's fun. So another momentous occasion has arrived this month. Well, actually, technically it was May, but whatever. We finally have Stranger Things 4 No spoilers, I promise. I'm not even finished. I have seen two things on Instagram. It's not a big deal. I don't even know what I saw, but I just immediately recognized an actor and was like, don't look at that. You have not seen this. You don't know what episode that's from. Oh my God. Yeah, I've only watched three episodes and my little mind is blown again. The Duffer Brothers, I just don't know how they keep doing it. I just haven't been disappointed one season. I'm pretty sure by the next time we record, I'll get through the entire first eight episodes. Is that how many they put out?
They put out seven.
Put out seven.
Yeah, I think that by our next episode, it'll be just a few days short of when the last remaining episodes will be released July 1st. Right. I'm going to watch as many as I can tomorrow. That is my goal, is to watch this as soon as possible. And yes, I am also seeing stuff on Instagram. There are people already making TikToks, either referring to a scene or reciting one. And I'm just like, this needs to be watched because nobody's going to keep their mouth shut about it. So I'm very excited to get started. But I'm going to try and watch as much as I can tomorrow. And then we'll definitely be finished before the end of the month.
Have you heard anybody say that scene?
No, not yet. There is that scene.
Two people have said it to me so far. And they both said it to me last night. It was so weird because Brandy keeps calling me and she's like, so have you finished? Have you finished? Let me know when you finish. And I'm like, I'm sorry. And then as soon as I got off the phone with her, my sister texts me, have you watched? Let me know when you get that scene. And I was like, and then I saw something on, I don't know, some social media. And it was like that scene. I was like, okay.
No, I don't even want to know what episode. Hopefully I can identify it, but I'm sure it's obvious.
I'm guessing since it's that scene, I'm so happy, you know what, just, and people have made this joke before. Sometimes you will skip a title sequence on Netflix because they give you the option, or any streaming platform. I do not skip the opening credits of Stranger Things. Never, ever. Always watch it. It gets you, it's part of the mood. I need to see that slow zoom in. I need it.
That's funny. Now, I wonder if this is Game of Thrones, that scene, or if it's Hill House, that scene. I wonder which one. A big massacre or a huge jump scare. I wonder which one we're going to get. But those are the two that scenes that I remember. So we'll see which one this fits under.
Or maybe it's something in the middle that we just have no idea what to expect. So once again, you know, this is like leftovers from May, but Rob and I got the chance to go and see Men. It's not really like a uplifting film if you want to like have hope for the male of the human species. That's probably the most intelligent thing I can say about it. And I can't even really spoil anything for you anyway, because I don't know what the fuck I watched.
Exactly. Sorry. I was going to say the exact same thing. There's no way we can spoil it because we have no idea what was going on. It is a definite mind fuck. So if you want something that's so confusing and a lot to digest and analyze, definitely watch this movie. It gives you so much material to try and work through. I should have read something about it by now, but I haven't really thought about it afterwards. I wonder if that shows how interested I am about knowing what's going on. But it was a very contained story, and it was straight to the point. And I love our lead actress. I thought straight to the point is meaning like from start to finish. They really just
like they get to it.
Yeah, they get to it. Yeah. They don't really hold back on like this is what's going on, and they start right away. Yeah. But our lead actress, I thought, was wonderful. And she definitely kept me interested. I cared about her. Her backstory and everything was great. It's just a lot of this execution. I have no idea why our director and writer did this. So it's very trippy. And it's, I don't know, like the makeup and everything I thought was good. It was definitely gross at some parts. It's more psychological, but there is some really disgusting thing that happens in this movie. So just be prepared for that.
Like microaggressions from men, that's in there, where it's like subtle sort of subtle things, but then there's also very in your face, aggressive behavior, you know, things that could be upsetting. So yes, lots of interesting choices were made with the story. I don't know. Like that first half, of the movie, I was like kind of on edge. Like
there were some very tense scenes in there for sure.
Yeah.
Would you call this a slow burn?
Right away, you get a creepy sense of that. There's, it's very like, you know, because she is all alone for the most part, and so you're just like sort of following, waiting, like what's going to happen to her? When is it going to happen? So it's not exactly a slow burn. It like things do start to happen right away. You just don't quite know what's happening. You don't know what direction it's going to take, and then when it finally lets you know the direction that it's going, it's wacky.
It's wacky. Very trippy.
Yeah.
Now, in comparison to the other sort of like dark, very full dialogue, almost a one woman show kind of thing, you just recently watched The Night House as well. Mm-hmm. What did you think about that one in comparison? Did you enjoy watching that one, the story progression? Did you understand what you saw once everything was revealed?
That is a great question, Rob. I did have, you know, some chatty Cathys. Well, chatty Cathy, I should say. Had lots of questions. So I was a little distracted. But I think I probably enjoyed that one a little bit more. Maybe because it was a slightly familiar thing where it's like, oh, a haunted house, air quotes, sort of. But it wasn't. So maybe I didn't fully understand at the end if there was like... I was like, was there another house? Was it all in her head? I don't know.
We'll talk after this because I have my theories or I guess an understanding of what I thought I saw. So, yes, we can definitely compare notes.
Yeah. But, I think I understood the main antagonist, I guess. I think I understood that, what she was dealing with. But some parts I got a little confused because, you know, when it's like, is it a dream? Eye roll. I don't know. I never liked those sequences.
Okay. And that kind of brings me to my next question. Like, what do you think about stories like that? That I love a good mystery, but these films that create their own mythology and lore and everything like that, the fact that it's not fully explained or they do it in a very ambiguous sort of metaphoric way, like, does that entice you? Do you have fun solving them or thinking about them afterwards? Is this the type of film that they should continue doing?
Yeah, of course. I like a good mystery, and I did love the mystery of it, especially because I had no idea where it was going. And, you know, most of the stuff that was discovered, I'm like, yeah, that happened. And I think at the end, it's more of me being allowed to make the decision of this actually happened. In Men, it's like, is it all in her head? And it's like, no, I don't know. It's like me going on someone's psychotic journey, psychotic break, whatever. It's like, I think that worked once or twice, like 10, 20 years ago, where it was like, oh, it was all a dream or whatever. Wow. But now I don't need that. Now I actually need you to have some outward force terrorizing you. I just need it. You know, I have my own mental issues. I don't need yours. That's basically how I feel. Or so like one of the most famous dream sequences, The Wizard of Oz. At the end, this entire wonderful, colorful, fantastical journey was a dream. She got hit on the head during a tornado and had a fever dream.
I want to say the powerful world of Oz made it seem like it was a dream so they wouldn't discover Oz itself. It's a way to keep them hidden, you know?
Right.
Like I go into the whole charm verse and, you know, that memory dust or just that fuzzy way of not knowing of what up there looks like once you return. It is just to protect the magic. That's how I've taken it. But I totally get what you're saying, you know, to go through this whole journey and then to kind of give the impression that, oh, she imagined it. You know, I feel that way about Alice in Wonderland. I have like, if that shit isn't real, then, you know, screw Disney, because I always thought that place was real. And I would, you know, I don't know if it was ever established if it was in her head or not, but yes, I guess it really depends on how fantastical the land is or what you're exploring. And it's just like, I don't care if she thought of it. Like,
yeah,
no, I want this to be real.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially like when you're a kid, it's just, it's like, it cheapens the experience. Like, no. So, but either way, yeah. So bring it back around. So go see Men if you dare, and form your own opinions, and maybe you'll be like, wow, brilliant. Oh my God. And, or maybe you'll be slightly confused. Well, Rob, you totally ruined my week. By
ever
sending me a movie poster.
So it was the movie poster, not the actual news.
No, because we'd heard the news a while ago, and I think I just forgot about it, or I blocked it out, you know, hoping for the best. But here we are. So we're getting a remake of Arachnophobia. I don't care that there's a remake. I'm not sort of like, oh, don't remake my movie. I don't care about that. I'm ecstatic.
I'm so happy this movie's getting remade. I cannot wait.
This terrified.
I think this is one of the perfect movies to remake for today. I just hope that they don't use a lot of CGI spiders. I hope they use practical or real ones. I'm keeping my fingers crossed, but that's the only downfall that I would say this movie has to look forward to if they're going to keep the title and not make it their own, you know, spiderific movie. But CGI has its place. Eight-legged freaks. It does not have its place here in Arachnophobia. So I'd rather they leave the movie alone if that's what their route is. But I am so excited.
Well, it'll probably be a combo. And also, it's probably easier to work with spiders that aren't physically there, just because, you know, they might get squished. And then PETA will be like, what the? Can't put that on your trailer. You can't put that on your credits now. No animals were harmed during the making of this film. I'll try to go and see it when it comes out. I will.
Well, when we heard about this news back in the day, we had already had a director already assigned to it, and it was James Wan. And we all love James Wan, and we trust him. And we were like, yay, you know, Arachnophobia is PG. He is the master of horror in PG, PG-13. So I was, yes, but unfortunately, he is not going to be the director. He is now a producer. They have assigned a new director to this film, and it is someone who I think that we can still trust in, especially because we're dealing with a horror comedy. And who other than our latest horror comedy genius, Christopher Landon, who is famous for Happy Death Day and Freaky, has decided to direct the new remake. And I, again, am excited about this news as well. I trust Christopher Landon so far. I think he's a wonderful writer and director so far. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I trust him to ruin my day.
I also think that with his other films too, he gives a lot of respect to the original material. Whether, you know, Back to the Future, Groundhog Day, Freaky Friday, I think he's done a wonderful job making sure that he doesn't like take away what made those films so wonderful and giving it a horror spin. So yeah, I'm excited for this. Now, there's no release date yet, of course, but we just know right now that Landon will be our director and James Wan is still involved. So yeah, I think this will be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was originally supposed to come out in 2020 for like the 30th anniversary. And that's why I forgot about it or blocked it out. But here we are. So I'm sure it'll be next year. It'll creep into our lives, and I'll try to go to the theater. If someone touches me during the movie, they might get bopped in the nose. Not on purpose, but if you think it's funny to like do crawly hands on me during this movie, you're going to get fucked up. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Well, hello there. Welcome to the Fear Bias Emporium. Allow me to introduce myself. I am Mr. Harry Harbinger. It's a pleasure to eat you. Oh, do excuse me. To meet you. You will find that I have an extensive array of artifacts and antiques acquired over quite some time. Each one has a unique story. Tell me, which one speaks to you? You may be wondering, why is a piece of wood displayed here? It's not this particular piece of wood that is special, rather the tree from which it grew. This branch is from the Tree of the Dead, the final resting place of a deadly, violent, and monstrous horseman. Do you believe in superstitions? Careful not to dismiss them too quickly. You may end up like Matt, who underestimated the power of belief. The superstition of the Tree of the Dead taught Matt a most intriguing lesson, that misguided misgivings of the mystical may mean a misplacement of your head.
It is time for Surviving the Night. Here with us is our player three. We welcome Matt to the podcast. Matt, how's it going?
Hi. It's going fine and dandy, like sour candy.
Oh, wow.
Awesome. Thank you so much for doing the podcast. And just to let everyone know, Matt is not someone who's an horror enthusiast. I'm sure he can probably count the number of horror films he's watched on one hand, maybe two, but mostly on one hand. But he has agreed to do the podcast and be quizzed. And I'm very excited to see if he can survive this. But he is going to do Sleepy Hollow, and he has chosen to rate this film this quiz PG-13. So what that means is we will continue the quiz and go to the next hour, whether he gets it wrong or not. In our previous quiz, you couldn't advance until you got the question right. But PG-13, we're just going to continue with the quiz if he answers incorrectly or correctly. This will have less, almost to none, behind-the-scene questions, and these are all questions just related to the movie itself. And, hopefully these questions aren't too hard, but yeah. He says that he watched it and he's prepared.
I did. I watched it. I took notes. I thought I could bring my notes. I can't bring my notes, but we're keeping it PG-13. We're no nudity for this one. Just no. Maybe one cheek.
Yes. And only one swear word.
And one F word.
Yeah. All right. So Nate, help me out. Let's introduce Matt to the friends he has to keep alive.
All right. So the horror, we have paired you up with Lady Van Tassel.
I figured she would be. You
know. Yeah. I mean, you know, spoiler alert, she's not great. She's not a great person, but she's been through some trauma. So we have to like give her a little bit of leeway.
A little slack, yeah. She's there.
Yes. Dude. Yes. Now, of course, with the horror, don't forget all of your friends have abilities. So she can get you a hint to a question if you're not sure and you want to, you know, get a little hint. This is like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Next, we have Bram Van Brunt. What a name.
I know.
But Bram, yeah, Van Brunt. Like, what are you, blunt instrument?
I think you should just, like, break a log in half with his bare hands. Like, that's what I hear. Sorry, go ahead.
Didn't help him in the end.
Ha, 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 ha.
The jock, through brute strength, he'll force another alternate question. So if you don't like the question that's been answered, he'll change it for you. Next, we have the scholar, none other than Ichabod, obviously.
Obviously.
Yes, sweet, intelligent Ichabod. He'll give you a 50-50 shot. So again, if you're unsure of what it could be, he'll get you a 50-50. You know, it's between one or the other. Lucky for you, the fool is in the studio today. You have me.
Oh, man. Oh, gee. Oh, man. Oh. Yeah.
Hair toss. I can get you multiple choice. And last but not least, the Virgin Katrina. And usually we work with what we have, but I feel like Katrina, she's not running around town. I think she keeps it tight. All right. So
literally.
She's done on top of the clothes stuff, I would assume.
Maybe. You know, I think she's super friendly. She gives you a kiss when you come to town. She doesn't even know anything about you. So that's real sweet. It's real sweet.
Miss Katrina Ricci. Katrina Ricci.
She will get you a second shot at answering the question if you get it wrong.
Okay.
Instead of sacrificing someone, you can attempt to try and answer the question again.
Above all else, you want to keep Katrina alive. So throughout the game, you might lose some friends, but as long as you have Katrina at the end, you will win.
Okay.
Your friends can be sacrificed in any order. Nobody specific has to go first, as this is not a typical slasher film. But basically, each round is considered each hour from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. You are going to be asked 12 questions. You survive when you keep Katrina alive.
Okay. Yes. And just to let you know, as soon as you kill me, I will turn against you and become an undead deadite.
Oh, no, not a deadite. Oh, man. Yeah.
Different franchise, but it's fine.
I was about to say, I don't think they were deadites in Sleepy Hollow.
Let's get started. We are at 6 p.m. with question number one. This is a very easy one. Just to get your blood boiling. What is the name of Christina Ricci's character in the film?
Oh, Katrina. Katrina Ricci.
Katrina Ricci. Okay, so is that your final answer?
Yes.
Bonus, do you happen to know her full name? What's her last name?
Is it Katrina Van Tassel?
It is Katrina Van Tassel. You are correct.
Yes.
Cute.
Very good. All right, 7 p.m. question number two.
Okay.
What year did this movie take place?
1770. I want to say 1776.
Is that your final answer?
Oh, muffins and cakes. Don't ask me if this is my final answer. 1776, that's actually a play. That's a musical.
It is.
I have not heard of this one.
It's a musical. But I think it's set... 1778.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
That is incorrect.
Blast.
Oh, no.
All right, now, at this point, we would have to sacrifice someone for this wrong answer. If you believe that you know this, you can use the Virgin's ability and try again. Otherwise, you would have to pick someone who you haven't even used their ability yet to die. We will move on to the next question, but somebody will have to go unless you know for a fact you know this.
See, I knew it on the day. I knew it on the day. There was a 17 in there.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to use the Virgin's ability again, and I'm going to say it's 17... I'm going to say 1776. I'm changing it. I'm changing it on the spot. I'm being spontaneous.
1776 is incorrect. Nice try.
What year was it?
Okay, so movies tend to use a year in the past, but always associated with the year that the movie itself actually came out. This movie came out in 1999, so this film took place in the year 1799.
Oh.
Appalled.
Very appalled. I was really hoping you'd get this, but yeah.
Honestly, when that's one of the questions. I try not to read any of your questions in case I have to help. And I saw that answer and I was like, when did it say that? I don't know. I must have been so wrapped up in my own journey.
It was plastered in the beginning. It was
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And they say like, oh, we're approaching the new...
That's right. He does say that, to be fair.
Yeah.
The 19th century, whatever. That's true. He does say that.
That didn't mean anything to me.
Well, we're still going to move on, but you do have to sacrifice someone. So now I think for you, it would come down to the type of ability or help that you would want in the future. If you think a hint won't help you out as much, or multiple choice, 50-50... And then you also have the ability to change the question. Which ability do you think you will not find much use in?
I'm going to go with getting rid of the ability to change the answer. So that's Brom Van Brunt, right?
Yes, yes. All right, so you are sacrificing the ability to change your question. That means everything on this quiz you will have to attempt to answer. And Brom is dead.
No, Brom. Oh. Handsome Brom.
It's all right. We have shed our tears, and yet we don't feel sad. Whatever she said, I don't know.
All right. 8 p.m. question number 3. This movie is based on what story by Washington Irving?
Oh gosh, is it not? Is it just, is there a special name for it, or is it just The Headless Horseman? Oh, okay, right. You can't. Okay, I'm going to call on Ichabod. Ichabod.
How fitting for this question. I love it. All right, so the movie is based on what story by Washington Irving? Here are your two choices from the scholar. The answer is either The Legend of Sleepy Hollow or The Legend of Ichabod Crane.
I'm going to say The Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
The Legend of Sleepy Hollow is correct.
Hey, thank you, Ichabod.
So much tension, Rob. So much tension.
I know.
Okay, question number 4. We are at 9 p.m. Which arm did Hessian, our headless horseman, use to yield his sword and cut off his enemies' heads?
Which arm? You can't answer that question, can you?
Do, 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 do.
The right.
The right arm. Is that your final answer?
Yes.
The right arm is correct.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Good job. Good job. 10 p.m. Four people. Finish this line. Who's got a kiss for the blank?
I think this was when they're playing the game in the house. Is it who's got a kiss for the wickedy witch? Is that it?
Is that your final answer?
Oh, don't laugh. Now I feel bad.
No, I just like that you always look to me for an answer. It's like, I can't help you.
It's my final answer.
Okay, so you said Wickedy Witch? Is that what I heard?
Yes.
Wickedy Witch is incorrect.
Balls. Muffins. Cakes.
So you will have to sacrifice another friend. Now, you have the scholar. You've already used their ability, so it makes sense to get rid of the scholar so you can keep your other abilities in play.
Yes.
Unless you have a very close attachment to Ichabod and you don't want to kill him, you can get rid of another character with an ability. But I think you would want to get rid of the scholar next.
Yeah, I just feel bad for getting rid of the lead.
I know. Johnny will survive. He survived much worse.
Recently. He did. Ooh.
So, Matt, you were close. It's Pickety Witch.
Pickety. One letter.
I know. Yeah. I really One wanted letter. To help you.
Muffins. Muffins. Okay.
All right, we are down to 3 friends. We are at 11 p.m., question number 6.
Okay.
In the film, where was the one place the horseman could not enter?
It was the church. The horseman could not enter the church. Or chapel, church, Chapel Church. Yes.
Is that your final answer?
That is my... Yes, it is.
Church is correct.
Oh,
I would have accepted church, church grounds. Yeah, yeah, all of that is good. All right, we are at midnight. Question number 7.
Okay.
The last will and testament that was signed and sealed with what last name on the emblem?
Muffins.
Wouldn't it be funny if he's like, oh, yeah, I'll use his ability, and then I don't know it? I'm pretty sure I know it, yeah. Yeah, I mean...
All right, I will take the hint.
All right, so you're going to use Lady Van Tassel for
the
hint. Oh,
of the... Yes, yes, Miss Van Tassel.
Okay. Hopefully this is a helpful hint for you, but what I wrote down is everybody loves Raymond.
Oh.
Thank you, Nate.
You know, it's so funny. I just watched an episode of The Nanny yesterday, and he guest starred.
Oh, nice.
He was Raymond, and they were attending a high school reunion, and I never knew his last name until that episode. Hilarious. Hilarious.
Everybody loves Raymond. It's not Bordis Van Tassel, right? I don't know this one. I don't know it. I thought that I did, and I do not know it.
Take a guess. If you remember any names that you heard throughout the film, try it out.
There's Bordis. There's Archer. There's Van Garrett? I really don't know this one. I do not know this one. I'm just going to throw in a name, and I know it's not. I'm just going to say Van Tassel, even though I know that's not it, but just to give an answer.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
That is incorrect. Oh, you were so close.
Yeah,
God, I was
even
hoping.
Said it.
You even said it. You said it.
I said it?
You did. You did. Okay, so first let's talk. Are you going to sacrifice... Well, you're sacrificing Lady Van Tassel because you used her ability, so you might as well just get rid of her, and then you'll have... Who's left?
Me.
Yes, the Fool and the Virgin. So, Lady Van Tassel has been... Her head's been cut off. The answer is Van Garrett. You were right when you brought him up.
Garrett.
He was the other side of the family tree. Everybody right. Loves Raymond has a actor in the show named Brad Garrett.
Oh,
the tall one. That. Yeah, I was hoping you'd know who Everybody Loves Raymond is. So, it was really hard trying to think of a hint to like hint on Garrett, but I was like, maybe another actor named Garrett would help.
See, my mom watches Everybody Loves Raymond all the time. She probably would have been like, oh.
Yeah. But you got my hint, right? Did you allude to that, or were you thinking something else?
No, I confused myself. I mean, yeah, I was thinking of something else. I was almost on a totally different track.
Yeah, when you were talking, I was like, nope, that's not what I'm talking about. But
that was a good hint. That was a good hint. Okay. Now that you say it, I'm like, I didn't remember his brother's name. But yeah, good one.
Okay, very good. It is Van Garrett. Yes, it was played by Martin Landau, and he was the one that, you know, died in the beginning. All right, we are on question number 8, 1 a.m. You have 2 friends left and 1 ability left.
Okay.
A common surname in this film include the word Van. Which actor in this film actually has the surname that includes the word Van?
Oh, Van. Out of the cast?
Out of the cast, yes.
I will call on the help of the Fool.
All right, Nate has been activated. So I'm going to give you the multiple choice. And then if you need Nate's assistant, you guys can talk it out. I will still need a final answer. So the names are Daryl Van Horn. Casper Van Dien. Angeria Van Michaels.
Oh, okay.
Or Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, you don't need my help anymore?
Wow. God, can you imagine how different that movie would have been if Dick Van Dyke
was? Right?
He's the Headless Horseman.
But out of those 4, do you have an idea of who it is now?
Casper Van Dien.
Casper Van Dien. Do you actually recognize or remember him from other stuff?
Starship Troopers.
Exactly. Matt, this honestly was for you. I did this. I'm like, he'll know this. He'll remember him. He'll know Starship Troopers. I did this for you. Nate, you knew this, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. As soon as you said it.
All I'm thinking of right now is just Dick Van Dyke, just like, I don't know, tap dancing the Headless Horseman to death. Just like,
oh, man. Do you know if this man was chased by the Headless Horseman, he would be tripping over everything. A rock, a stick, he would be tripping over everything. He would never get away. Oh, classic. All right. Well,
Mary Tyler Moore will save him.
Well, Casper Van Dien is correct. Great job. Unfortunately, you have no more abilities, so you are all on your own. You are at 2 a.m. question 9. You still have two people left, so that's good, at least. All right. What is the name of the giant black steed our headless horseman rode on?
Oh, no, I don't know. I see. I know the name of the horse that Ichabod rides on.
Oh, well, look at you.
That is so funny. Yeah, they only mention his name, I think, once in the film. But yeah, I was like, hearing the other horse's name, I'm like, maybe that'll confuse you a little bit. And it did.
Well, what's the other horse's name? Maybe it'll jostle your memory.
Gunpowder. It's the dust when he hits it, just... Oh, God, I don't know. Is it the name of some other...
You would have loved my hint on this one. Ugh.
Oh, don't say that. Muffins. Oh, muffins and cakes.
I feel like I'm about to die.
I really don't know. I want to say Black Death, but I don't think that's it.
Why I gotta be black? Nope.
I mean, he is a black horse.
He is.
Horse. You know, he's out there representing...
Stallion isn't in the title either.
Death Stallion. I'm sorry. I'll be quiet.
Oh, I really don't know. I'm sorry.
Oh, don't be sorry. Just throw a guess out there and we'll hope for the best.
Okay. Black Stallion.
Final answer?
Yeah.
Black Stallion is incorrect. Nice try, though. Nice try. The stallion's name was Daredevil.
Daredevil.
So Nate, unfortunately, has had his head cut off. Wow. Nice try. You have one more remaining friend, and that is Katrina. You are at... 3 a.m. with question 10. So you have three more questions left. Let's see if you can answer this.
Okay.
The witch in the cave cut off the head of what to complete her spell?
Oh, the bat.
Bat? Is that your final answer?
Yes, that is my final answer.
That is correct.
Yes. Blood. Very thick.
It was.
Red.
Paint.
Clay. Yeah, it was paint. It was like paint. Yeah. I mean, that was what Tim was going for. Like that aesthetic.
4 a.m. question 11. What protected Ichabod Crane from the death of a bullet?
It was the book of spells that Katrina gives him. She says something like, "Hold it close to your heart."
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
That is correct. Katrina Mother's Book of Spells. Great job. I like that. Very detailed, too.
Katrina Ricci, save the day.
Katrina Ricci.
Look at that. So you have one person left. You were on the last question. This will determine... if you survive the night or become a victim to the Headless Horseman, 5 a.m., Lady Van Tassel's family name is what?
Archer.
Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
Archer is correct.
Yay!
God damn it, we didn't kill him.
You didn't kill me.
Matt has survived the night. Congratulations. That was wonderful. I love
But wait!
That.
We still have time for one final scare. Matt, for your final scare, how many heads does the horseman take? Go through it.
Was that in your notes, Matt? Did you actually count how many times he cut off a head?
I did not count. I remember the amount of deaths that there were and how they kept saying that there were five deaths, but only four, something along those lines that I can't remember the exact quote, but that I remember. The amount of heads. Okay, we've got the dude on the thing at the beginning of the movie. We've got Lady Van Tassel. We've got Katrina Ricci's dad. What's his name from Harry Potter? 1, 2, 3, because we've got the family that he killed. That's 8. I'm going to say 9.
Final answer?
That's my final answer.
Congratulations, Matt. Oh. You have survived the night.
That is amazing.
Yes.
That is amazing. Yes. I love it. Love it. All right. So real quickly, I want to know, because you're not a huge fan of horror films, or they're not really ones that you kind of gravitate to, what was it about Sleepy Hollow that got your attention?
I think because growing up, it was never my go-to genre of film. I remember watching the movie. God, that was 99, so I was probably like 12. I remember watching that movie and it being the first horror-ish film in that area that I genuinely enjoyed, and I was entertained by. I think I was entertained by the world building. I mean, Tim Burton has a great way of just of bringing you into this other atmosphere in his movies, and that definitely happened with Sleepy Hollow the first time that I saw it. The sake of nostalgia for me, Ray Park is in the body of, you know, of the horseman who is Darth Maul. In fact, maybe he was filming. No, he wasn't filming them both. No, maybe he was, because they both came out in the same year. So he could have been like hopping and skipping from Star Wars to Sleepy Hollow. The music is beautiful.
Music is really good.
I love the music. And who did that? Oh my God, I'm blanking on the composer's name.
That was almost our last scare question. That's hilarious. We were about to ask you that. Man, who does all of Tim Burton's music?
Yeah, it's the same person.
Yeah.
So you know who it is. It's just
I know who it is. Danny Elfman.
That's correct.
There we go.
Yeah.
And he did the music for just recently Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
Oh, he did. He sure did.
Yeah, that was him.
That was him. I was like, he's still out here.
I know.
He's
love
still
it.
Out here doing it.
Love it.
Oh, that's right. He did the original Spider-Man Sam Raimi. That's right.
See, I didn't know that, but I can hear it. Mm-hmm. I can hear it.
Once you, it's like, oh, that is Danny Elfman. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, everybody, you know, everyone has their signature. Again, just visually, it's also stunning. I mean, like, I like the desaturated colors.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but I find it pleasing.
It's so funny. I noticed that this time rewatching, and I was like, wow, he really, like, was like, I want a sepia tone.
Suck the color out. Yes.
Like, he goes into the editing. I need you to, like, really bring it down. Is she wearing gray? Is she wearing beige? Is it possibly blue, but it's dead? Go with that.
I don't want the audience to know. And also, like, there's that nod to Beetlejuice. At least I think it's a nod to Beetlejuice at the very end.
Yeah,
when Katrina Ricci comes out in, like, the pinstripe black and white.
Definitely.
Yeah. It's a hot dress. Yeah.
Shared universes. Shared universes.
Oh, even Lady Van Tassel, her last dress. It's
yeah, you're right.
Number. It's just like bigger stripes, maybe.
Yeah. And then there's the moment, oh God, whose eyes bulge out of their head in that in Sleepy Hollow. There's a moment where someone's eyes like bulge out.
The witch.
Who was that? It was the witch. Another, you know, Tim Burton Beetlejuice thing. This is a very random tidbit, but I always found it funny. So you know the part when they're in the church and God, what's his name? Shoots.
Baltus.
Shoots Baltus. So, sorry. So so there's a moment where like he shoots Bortus, and so like, you know, like the jolt from the hit makes you jump. And so like the wig came off.
Oh, you're talking about the pastor.
Okay.
Jeffrey Jones. What? Yeah, his wig pops right off.
It just went so quick. Oh, this still tickles me to this day. I can't stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was like 11, 12 when I saw this movie. That's when I realized that those were actually wigs that people were wearing. Because until that point, in history books and all that stuff that I saw, I'm like, oh, that's their actual hair. Like they went to the beauty shop. They had dollars to throw down. They got it pressed. They got it dyed. They got it fried. Like they spent a whole day at the salon. I thought that was real. You know, I thought that was their real hair. And then what's his name takes it off and he's like rubbing it when he's talking to Ichabod. Yeah. Also, Christopher Walken is just a gem. He's a gem of a human being. No lines, nothing. Just batshit crazy Christopher Walken playing this part.
He had that Max Schreck hair.
Selena.
He's the best. And I loved him in this movie as well.
He was great.
So I just loved him.
I'm glad that there was a movie that you could stomach enough to do this show for us. So,
you know, Nate showed me a few movies like way back when, like I saw a few horror flicks. So my education was like widened a little bit more. I don't think I would have been able to rewatch those alone. One of my other go-tos that I thought about it, but I just wouldn't have been able to sleep was the first Insidious.
I knew you were going to say that.
Love that movie.
That was like, it was so good. And I remember.
So in the spirit of slasher films, we have the Jock Horror, the Fool Scholar, and the Virgin. Out of those five trope characters, where do you see yourself fitting into this group? Which one of those would you say would describe you best?
I'm an Ichabod.
Scholar.
That's me. At least just thinking about him and his anxiety and how anxious he gets with things. You know, him just in the bed. There was a horseman. Headless. You know, that's
you
me.
You don't understand, but I saw him. Yes. We've tried to tell you. That's exactly why you're here. We know he's alive, but you don't know.
You were not there.
You weren't there. Oh, he's... Yeah, that was a gag.
That's me.
Fun fact. Johnny Depp has never seen this movie.
Oh, really? I mean,
he doesn't like his performance, I guess. I'm like, that's so sad, sir, because it's great.
Because it's everything. It's so good. Interesting. Oh,
another fun fact. I came up with alternate questions, and a couple of them did revolve around Star Wars characters. So, which three actors are in the Star Wars movies?
Yeah, so you got Ray Park, you've got, I can never remember the name of Emperor Palpatine. Ian.
McDermott. Ian.
Yes.
Palpatine was in this, who'd he play?
He's the doctor.
It's time to confess all sins.
Oh my god.
I don't know why he was so neurotic or something.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't
recognize
him.
It was weird to see him that way. You know, after being so
good.
Yes, good.
No,
and here he's like
so helpless. Yeah.
I was like, oh no, Palpatine. No. And third person, who's the third person?
He only has one scene.
Oh, okay. Christopher Lee, God rest his soul. Also, on the horror end, royalty.
Yes.
Right?
From, yes.
From Dracula?
Dracula, yeah.
Yes.
Hammer Films.
Yeah, yep. No, very good. You said you had something about Sarah too, right, Nate?
Oh, I did. I just thought it was so funny. So the actress who plays Sarah, the servant girl, who gets her head off at the end, her last name, her name for real, is Jessica Oyelowo. Does that sound familiar?
Oh, get out of here.
She's married to David Oyelowo.
Shut the F up.
All right.
I just thought, I was like, I saw her last name and I was like, there's not a lot of people named that. Let me click on her. And I was like, oh my God, she got married to him when she was doing this movie. So I was like, ha, that's crazy. She's just, you know, small world. They have like five kids. I was like, all right.
Oh, wow.
Okay. All right. Okay, just kids. Get it.
Getting it in a lot. Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
I'd be exhausted.
Fun. Oh, one more fun fact. So
yes.
Michael Goh, notary Hardenbrook. He's, you know, a.k.a. Alfred from the first Batman series.
Yeah.
So his real name is Francis Michael Goh. He's named after his father, Francis. But what I thought was funny is that both his parents are named Francis.
Oh, really?
What?
Yeah. Like, his father is Francis with the I-S and his mother is Francis with the E-S. And I was like, is that what brought y'all together? And then you named your kid Francis?
Lord. That Francis, narcissism.
Francis. Yeah. Francis. We're here.
Well, Matt, we want to thank you so much for playing this game. I hope you had a good time.
I had a ball.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Well, thank you for giving us the opportunity to do a PG-13 rated quiz, because I was curious how this was going to turn out, but it's actually very tenseful. You made it just on the just right at the edge of
the cusp. Yeah, right, the cusp, on the one cheek.
Yes,
the one naked cheek.
Good, you got them all. That's great. Well, yeah, thank you so much for playing. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Definitely.
Oh, really?
All right, it's come to the end of our episode. We are going to wrap it up with another bitch, really. I decided to take a moment from our film today that we highlighted, which is Sleepy Hollow. And this involves Baltus Van Tassel. Now, there is a scene in the film where they are hiding in a church away from the Headless Horseman. I believe he is the next target on his list, and they figured out a way to keep him away and that he cannot touch church grounds. So they're all the townspeople, or as much people as they can, are inside of the church, and the horseman cannot go past a certain threshold. So they're all running around and they're all threatening each other and getting each other's nerves and all this while there's a murdering, you know, ghost outside. And Baltus is somewhat, I guess, exposed for something that he did. And so the townspeople are kind of like pushing him into a corner, and he's there to defend himself. And he ends up in this higher story of the church in front of a big giant window. Now, unfortunately, Baltus loses life, because even though the Headless Horseman cannot come onto the church grounds, that doesn't mean any object that he is wielding cannot. He decides, the Headless Horseman makes a harpoon and lunges a piece of a fence or stake through the window, staking Baltus and dragging him out, therefore completing his task. Now, the bitch really of it all is the fact that in most cases, when you are held inside of a home, hiding from something that is outside, people still want to go near windows, and they want to be against doors and looking through peepholes and all of this stupid mess where things can go through and kill your ass. So, bitch, really, Baltus, did you have to stand next to a window? Now, This is a little bit of a stretch because he clearly had other things on his mind. All these townspeople were in his face, but it's just like, stay away from the windows where you can be seen. How do they get you if they can't see you?
Yeah, true. I mean, yeah, he got a little too comfortable. They all thought that they were safe inside, and it's like, well, how could he possibly get me? So yeah, it's a good little surprise.
He only cuts us with axes. He has to be so close. Yeah. It's all melee. No, this man can do whatever he wants. So, yeah, that's my bitch really.
Well, once again, Rob, thank you for another wonderful episode. This was so much fun.
Definitely.
And, you know, we will have some gay goodness next time. I mean, obviously, we have to attend a Pride Festival first to, like, really give you some juice.
Of course. But if you guys have any recommendations on queer horror that we should be watching this month, please hit us up on Twitter or Instagram. We are at Fear Bias. We love your recommendations, and maybe we'll have time to watch some of them. Come back and share our thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Or if you have a book you want me to read, I'm down.
So we will see you next time on Bitch, I Ain't Scared.
Bye.